Harrison, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A. Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio, Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Special thanks to Mitchell Buffer for filling in for me on Monday. My wife had symptoms. We thought passing a kidney stone. We suspect now it may be another onset of shingles, a real nasty development. Hasn't broken out yet, but it diverted me for 4.5 hours to local hospital, which is wonderful facility. We're very fortunate we have it at a stone's throw. In any case, Mitchell, thank you so much. Meanwhile, what would you do if there were a mountain of evidence suggesting that the President of the United States, the leader of the Democrat Party, were actually the head of a crime family? What would you do? After all, we have this former capo, or a prominent New York mob family, Michael Franzese, knowing a thing or two about criminal enterprise, declaring the Bidens are 100% a bunch of criminals. Franzese said he struggles to understand if they've not been exposed. The former Italian mobster noted when he was indicted for defrauding the government, he did so through the use of 18 shell companies open solely to launder illegal money. He observes that's exactly what the Bidens have been doing with their 20-plus shell companies that do nothing except allow them to receive shady foreign funds. To have a president in office doing these kind of things, basically that's treason. My brother was a drug addict for 25 years. Many people got to me through him because he was selling my ability to help somebody out for money, just like Hunter is a drug addict, and they're using Hunter to get to Joe. It's so obvious that Hunter is just a conduit for his father. Well, there's just no question that that's what's going on. So if you're Democrats, you know, and you want to deny, what can you do as a psyop? Well, we've seen the pattern. every time there's a major drop about Hunter or Joe, the Democrats, the Department of Justice in particular, drops another indictment against Trump. It's been going on. We've got like 8 different civilian and now 4 different criminal. I mean, they just drop these indictments right and left. You got all those illegal servers at Hillary's home. You got the cocaine in Joe Biden's home. You got a dead body found in Barack Obama's home. But who they raid? Trump's home. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The pattern is unmistakable. Well, this latest Georgia indictment is centered on RICO charges. Now, you see what's wonderful about that from the PSYOP perspective is RICO reeks of racketeering, mobism, crime families. So, my God, if you can arrest Trump and a bunch of others, maybe how about 18? That sounds like a nice number. And bring charges against him for racketeering. How about a huge, staggering number? I think in one, it's I see 39 different. Bring his charge against him. My God, and of course, you're eager to get it up. So you go ahead, you post it. Ironically, it was put up by the Fulton County court before the jury had even voted. I mean, if you want proof positive of how corrupt this is, and you know it's the final doc, this isn't just an accident because it's already got a case number. That's for a trial case number. It's got a assigned judge. It's got the party of Donald Trump and others. And yeah, actually goes down to 39. First violation of Georgia RICO, you know, solicitation of what, something by public officer. I mean, it goes on and on. False statements, meetings, false statements. Man, half the people in the United States, right? Those of us who are of different points of view than one of us, if making a false statement is a crime, is guilty of a crime every time we disagree, one or the other. How absurd is that? So the documents, dated August 14th, named Trump, cited the case as open. They took it down, so it's no longer on the court's website. Reuters, which obtained a copy of it, and I got a copy of it here, was not immediately able to determine why it was posted or removed. But, of course, it's because they jumped the gun. I mean, this is ridiculous, but it's also indicative that this whole thing is a fabrication. It's fake. It's phony. This is a kangaroo grand jury. Just ridiculous. As Mike Cernovich said, Fulton County DA must be removed from the Trump investigation. This is unlawful and unconstitutional. Fulton County DA indicted Trump under Georgia's RICO law. Reuters obtained the documents, but the grand jury is still meeting. The law isn't being followed. This is state-sponsored lynching, legal lynching. He's got that right. And I love how the Babylon Bee gets it right. I mean, I've shared this before. I want to share it again. It is so spot on. Democrats say it'll take a lot more than eyewitness testimony, bank records, audio, video, complete confession for them to believe Biden did anything wrong. Washington, D.C. As evidence of bribery and corruption by the Biden family continues to mount, Democrat lawmakers in the nation's capital have expressed heavy skepticism, saying they'll need a lot more than just eyewitnesses, financial records, audio and video recordings, and admissions of guilt from parties involved for them to believe any of it. No, I'm not buying it, said California Congressman Ari Swalwell. If you're wanting me to believe President Biden and his family have been involved in a far-reaching money-for-favor scheme for years, you'll need to show me a lot more than rock solid irrefutable evidence, good dad. You'll need to show me a lot more than rock solid irrefutable evidence. If the Biden family was corrupt, I think I would have heard about it from my Chinese spy girlfriend. God, isn't that wonderful? The Babylon Bee. As rumors swirled that additional audio recordings of President Biden accepting bribes may soon be released, Democrats continue to brush them off. I see nothing wrong here, said Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. So he's on tape taking bribes. It's not like it proves he took bribes or something. So he's on tape taking bribes, but Schumer says it's not like it proves he took bribes. At publishing time, Republicans in Congress said they were waiting on several more truckloads of evidence before beginning impeachment proceedings. Okay, so you need something to go with all of this, this mass of evidence. What could be better than an indictment of Trump for RICO action? The local prosecutor in Georgia has become the Democrats' latest instrument of election interference, unveiling a fourth round of indictments against former President Trump, citing activities like, get this, encouraging voters to tune into televised broadcasts. Listen, a conspiracy is simply collusion between two or more individuals to bring about an illegal end. Is encouraging voters to tune into televised broadcast pursuing an illegal end? Obviously not. So what's got this harebrained? What's motivating this harebrained indictment? Well, I think this prosecutor is, let me put it kindly, a moron. Hours after the Atlanta prosecutor prematurely uploaded the Trump indictments, the Fulton County District Attorney's Office secured long-sought charges against Republican frontrunner 15 months before the election. Fannie Willis successfully indicted 19 total defendants he plans to bring to trial together. Now, let me give you my best take on what she's doing here. She thinks Donald Trump knew that he lost the election. He knew that he lost the election and he was trying to overthrow it by taking actions that would promote the idea that he lost the election, but he knew that he won the election, but he knew he lost the election, but he was promoting the idea that he won the election and encouraging people, say, to watch television with evidence that he actually won and the election was stolen. I mean, this is intellectually beyond belief. I mean, this is so insulting. This is a mockery. This is as dumb as it gets. With 13 additional counts from Georgia prosecutors over objection to the 2020 presidential election, meaning protests that it was stolen, Trump is now faced with 91 charges as he leads the race for next year's Republican nomination. Those now facing charges, along with a former president, include Trump's last White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and attorney Rudy Giuliani. Here's a rundown of the conspiratorial acts signed by the Fulton County District Attorney's Office in the unprecedented indictment. Asking for phone numbers. The Fulton County prosecutor indicted Meadows for soliciting phone numbers from a pair of Pennsylvania lawmakers. Meadows sent a text message to United States Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania and stated, can you send me the number for the speaker and the leader of the Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with him, the indictment reads. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. All right, now, why do they need overt acts? Because you can't punish anyone for just having a thought. They've got to have done something to implement the thought. And the thought in this case has to be bringing two or more people together to pursue an illegal end. I mean, if the end isn't illegal, see, this is where she commits this colossal blunder. She assumes that if Trump was trying to expose that the election was corrupt and reverse it, and by the way, we get more and more evidence and proof by the day, where the next story I report is going to blow you away. She needed evidence of further conspiracy. Well, if he wants to call his people and tell them, look, I think this is stolen, it should be reversed, then of course he tried to reverse the election, where she simply begs a question, takes for granted that Biden won fair and square, which is, of course, absurd. I mean, look, I did studies of the polling before the election and of the polling after the election, and it was clear Trump had won an overwhelming victory. There's no doubt about it. The voters themselves, when polled, explained they were going to support Trump, or 40% blacks were going to support Trump. Similar number of Hispanics were going to support Trump. When the Democrats lose those kind of percentages of minority groups they count upon, they can't win. They cannot win. Then we had, you know, and afterwards, it turned out everyone voted just the way they said they were going to vote before the election. They voted that way after the election. Trump had won virtually every single state in the union, okay? The best number I can come up with now is he probably won over 100 million votes. I mean, let's put it this way. 100 million plus votes were cast for Trump. Something like 37 mil were cast for Biden. Now remember, what Stalin observes, I don't care who casts the ballots. What I care about is who counts. And, you know, we've had all these presentations, Mike Lindell, it was just proof after proof. We had Ron Johnson, proof after proof. We had Dinesh D'Souza, 2,000 mules, proof after proof. The election was stolen. Primarily, I have presumed heretofore, though the next story is going to lead to a caveat about how it was done, using Dominion voting machines, drop boxes, mail-in balloting, truckloads of phony ballots delivered after the deadline. I mean, the Democrats went all out. They were not going to allow Donald Trump to win in 2020. And they put up a demented pedophile, and we got to Ashley. It's so bad. Ashley Biden has confirmed that the diary is legit, where the diary not only talks about inappropriate showers she took with her father when she was a little girl, but that he sexually abused her repeatedly. We're talking about intercourse. That Joe Biden was raping his own daughter. And of course, a statutory rape, even if she was not fighting him over it. This is just disgusting beyond belief. And this is the guy the Democrats put up to be an example for the country. And, of course, we all know a doddering, teetering, demented performance. I'm trying to figure out how, since I'm convinced, and I've published many, many blogs, that this is, in fact, not the real Joe Biden, who appears to have died in 2017. We even have a granddaughter confirming that, saying, oh, yeah, Grandpa died in 2017, but the family wanted to keep involved, so they've had others impersonating him. I think one of these has to be a brother of Joe. I mean, some of the things he says are so stupid. But the fact of the matter is, I went back and found, you know, video of Biden giving talks, like in 2007, and he was actually very articulate, highly intelligent. very expressive, uses hands and gestures, just as yours truly uses his hands and gestures. He was kind of impressive as a speaker. Now, unfortunately, a whole lot of things he said were false, deliberately false. He seemed to have made a career of making up stories like the corn pop story. I mean, how dumb is that? So they got different shape and size of head. They got different signatures. They have different body language and social interaction with other members of the family. When Jill was with the real Joe, she was always beaming, arm in arm, hand in hand. He'd have this shit-eating grin on his face. This new guy, they're not hand in hand. They're not arm in arm. He doesn't have the shit-eating grin. He doesn't have the expressiveness. He doesn't use his hands when he talks. It's just grotesque. Now, the Democrats are up against it. They got an obviously senile, incompetent candidate they're planning to run for re-election. And, of course, we've talked about it many times. The problem being they've even got a vice president who's, if anything, even worse. She is an airhead. Kamala Harris may be the single dumbest figure I've ever seen in high office in Washington, D.C. And there's been some real dummies. So Kamala Harris is just a cackler, just an airhead who made her way on her back with Willie Brown in the beginning when he was the head of the California Assembly and the most powerful politician in California at the time, put on a couple of prominent state commissions, and her career took off from that. The Democrats can't run Kamala. Nobody likes Kamala. I believe the honest polling on Joe is he's down to about 9%. Even most Democrats do not want him to run. Over 70% of Democrats don't want Joe to run again. So I've somehow got to get Joe out, replace Kamala. I have no doubt they want Gavin Newsom. He's just a kind of glad-hander, slimy piece of shit the Democrats adore. They want Gavin Newsom in. He's done tremendous damage to California. So now they want to put him in a position where he can do tremendous damage to America. Well, meanwhile, they got this guy who's a phenomenon. This man is the greatest phenomenon in the history of American politics. I'm talking about Donald J. Trump. So I got to smear him. Turns out every indictment they bring, it goes nowhere. In fact, his poll numbers rise. Well, this last one is so transparently absurd, so indefensible legally and factually, it makes a mockery of the judicial system. But the fact is, I think everyone who pays attention is going to see it. A conspiracy asks for phone numbers. Here's a number, another. Encouraging voters to watch television is a conspiracy. Act 22, these are the acts in furtherance of the conspiracy. Charges Trump with a conspiracy for encouraging supporters to watch hearings broadcast on One America News Network. Georgia hearings now on One America News Network. Amazing, the president tweeted. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy, the indictment reads. Act 100. Faulted the president for encouraging supporters to tune into Newsmax. Act 101. Another tweet encouraging supporters to turn into the Right Side Broadcasting Network as another act of conspiracy. Even grassroots campaigning is conspiracy. Act 38. Of the indictment charged Giuliani with retweeting a Patriot call to action. Encourage voters to call their member of Congress to advocate for the cause. The tweet stated, Georgia, Patriot call to action. Today is the day we need you to call your state Senate and House rep and ask them to sign a petition for a special session. We must have free and fair election in Georgia. And this is our only path to ensuring every legal vote is counted. That was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. reserving rooms as a conspiracy. Defendant David Schaefer was indicted for reserving a room at the Georgia Capitol in December 2020. Reserving the room, which was used for a meeting of alternative presidential electors, was declared by the prosecutors an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Seeking signature verification is conspiracy. Act 32 of the criminal indictment charged Trump for calling on Georgia state leaders to ensure signature verification and call a special session. According to Willis, this is the DA. The December 6, 2020 tweet, my birthday, coincidentally, was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Encouraging someone to attend a hearing is conspiracy. Act 45 of the indictment. False defendant Michael Roman for requesting an unidentified, unindicted co-conspiracy to encourage co-defendant Misty Hampton to attend a House committee hearing in Georgia on election fraud. This was an overt act in furtherance of conspiracy. This is rubbish. This is rubbish. I've been eager to see what Jonathan Turley was going to say about it. When they found he did an interview with Dana Perino and others on Fox, and Turley was explaining, this is criminalizing, you know, election protests. I mean, if you just challenging an election, which is as American as apple pie, being criminalized by this indictment, he was bewildered. And if that's a criminal act, we heard nothing but 4 years of complaints from Hillary Clinton that Donald Trump had stolen the election. But did Hillary take no overt acts? And by the way, in case you haven't heard me explain, telling lies is not illegal. It's not unconstitutional, even deliberately distorting. There is no case here. Stunning.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is a problem for other indictments against Trump, in particular related to the January 6th matter. Because if Trump sincerely believed that the election had been stolen, then it just collapses. It just collapses. And it's similarly with the Georgia. Plus, Trump wasn't lying. What he said was all true. I mean, the evidence that the election was stolen is massive, overwhelming, and grows by the day. Here we have get this. Even if Trump were telling lies is constitutionally protected speech. The Supreme Court has ruled on this. Remember, if making false statements were a crime, then every time you have a disagreement with someone else, every time you have a disagreement with someone else, one of you is committing a crime because your positions in conflict can't both be true. They could both be false. But it can't both be true. But the Supreme Court has ruled in political context, even. Telling lies, deliberately misleading your audience, is constitutionally protected speech. So her idea that Trump was telling people, you know, he lost the election, or let's find the votes that I need, you know, to make this come out right, that was all sincere. This is like the Democrats, the gun grabbers, claim the founding fathers didn't have in mind military-style weapons. Well, you think about it. The only weapons available to citizens of the United States at the time were not just military-style weapons. They were military weapons. They were muskets. They were real, honest to God, military weapons. Why? Because the founding fathers wanted American citizen to be, as it were, a militia or an army in reserve that could come to the aid of the nation in the face of a foreign invasion or, I dare say, a domestic tyranny. And we're in the midst of the greatest domestic tyranny of my lifetime, frankly, in the history of the United States. So they don't tell you. The court long since ruled that not just military-style weapons are covered by the Second Amendment, but military weapons. So the gun grabbers really have no basis. They want to take guns away from law-abiding people. What is the benefit? What is the benefit to law-abiding people? And when you make guns illegal, you know, the NRA used to say, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. That's basically right. You know, it took me years to appreciate the profundity of that observation. It means ordinary citizens will be unable to protect themselves. And guess what? Ordinary citizens use guns for defensive purposes millions of times every year. Millions of times every year. Saving an estimated minimum 200,000 lives per annum, 200,000 lives saved every year because ordinary law-abiding citizens had guns to protect themselves from criminals or assailants. Typically, they didn't have to even fire the weapon, just indicate. But no, they were armed and could defend themselves. So they skedaddled. You know, in Switzerland, every family is required to have a weapon, and crime rate there is virtually zilch. Well, if you take weapons away from law-abiding citizens, what you create is free fire zones where the perps know they're, at the very least, not going to be confronted by a nosy bystander who is going to interfere with them performing their criminal acts. I mean, for God's sake, if gun laws were the answer, Chicago would be the safest city in the world. But in fact, it has the highest rate of gun violence. I mean, are we too stupid to see that gun laws don't work? So this is just one of the ways in which the gun grabbers, you got to ask, what the hell is their motivation to leave America defenseless? The total number of deaths from gun violence, by the way, is somewhere around, I don't know, 70,000 to 80,000. Where more than half of those are from suicides, which are increasing, by the way, under the Biden admin, surprise, surprise. People are losing their homes at a phenomenal rate under Bidenomics, which is catastrophic. But a point I return to is this. The prosecutor in Georgia appears to be a numbskull. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's just a stooge. She's just an instrument of harassment of Trump. And by the way, the evidence that he's not only not telling a lie, that the election really was stolen, and that all his acts were anything but in furtherance of a conspiracy, but to undo a successful one to steal the election. Get this. Engineers discover nationwide cellular network. Connects election equipment and gives federal government access to election systems at the precinct level. This has just been published by the Gateway Pundit. It's just been republished on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. jameshfetzer.org. You got to record this. You got to read this. I'm going to share a good chunk of it because this is so bloody serious. It shows it wasn't just Dominion machines. It wasn't just those truckloads of ballots. It wasn't just mail-in ballots. It wasn't just the drop boxes. But the federal government. And are you going to be able to guess who was president when the move was made to enable the government to manipulate the outcome of elections across the nation? It won't be any surprise. Same guy who may or may not have just killed his chef on Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, that guy. A growing majority of Americans know the 2020 election was fraudulent. Many analysts have been studying election integrity have concluded there had to be a two-way connection between local election electronics, electronic poll pads, tabulators, election management system, voter databases, and a centralized data collection system responsible for monitoring and manipulating the election. Fingers have rightly been pointed at all-inclusive election management software, the Albert Sensor System, Seidel and Edison, and the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. This incestuous collaboration between the Department of Homeland Security, the Election Assistance Commission, leftist globalist funding, foreign companies, and their private partners allowed for the real-time monitoring of all election data and, more importantly, the ability to change the results. While experts could understand the functional capabilities of how these programs manipulate elections at the county and state level, one area of mystery remained. Experts could not fully explain how systems within individual precinct, which are supposedly air-gapped, were adding votes in real time, such as no-link poll pads in Texas that added hundreds of votes to the 2022 midterm election after the polls had closed. To accomplish election fraud at individual polling places, it's necessary to have an air interface with a supposedly air-gapped equipment network at the polling place. A year-long research project led by an election integrity investigator from Utah, Sophie Anderson, and communications engineer, Dr. Charles Bernardin, has uncovered the mechanism used to connect our election equipment at polling places across the nation. Anderson and Bernardin met while working together in several overlapping election integrity efforts. After submitting a countless number of public document requests from multiple federal, state, and local governments and working with other grassroots researchers, the team realized the federal government has indeed created a nationwide network that is capable of collecting and changing real-time voting data at polling places across the country from a central location. The private network tool is called FirstNet. And like so many things that have been detrimental to American liberty, it was sold as a tool to ensure public safety. What is FirstNet? The idea of a national cellular network dedicated to public safety was hatched in the wake of 9/11, when congested cell network proved to be a bottleneck for first responders. In 2012, Congress created the First Responder Network Authority under the Department of Commerce to oversee the build-out of FirstNet. The original intent provided by its sponsors was that FirstNet would serve police, fire, and EMT services. However, the scope was soon expanded to include all critical infrastructure, which included water, energy, and transportation. Curiously, just days before Barack Obama left office, his administration, Department of Homeland Security, used a specter of Russian interference in the 2016 election as an excuse to declare election system to be part of that critical infrastructure. As a result, the stage was set to roll election systems into FirstNet. The original plan to build FirstNet was to create a separate network with nationwide coverage that used a dedicated cellular band portion known as Band 14. Years and billions of dollars later, AT&T had built out the FirstNet Band 14 network with coverage shown in maps you can find on my blog. The obvious problem was that separate Band 14 coverage was proving to be too slow and expensive to build, as only pockets of the country had the service available. Some states left completely without service. If Barack Obama's vision of using FirstNet to concoct all election equipment was going to be realized before the 2020 election, the developers would need to speed things up. In 2017, AT&T offered the First Responder Network Authority preemption services on its entire cellular network. Preemption would give FirstNet customers priority on AT&T's network, ensuring they would always have service on the AT&T network. Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint soon followed suit in offering preemption services, instantly expanding FirstNet service wherever cellular was available. These other providers gave their preemption services names like Frontline and Connecting Heroes. But for the purposes of simplicity, we will refer to the preemption service on all providers as FirstNet. Almost instantly, FirstNet coverage increased from pockets of the country to cover most of the population, and its voting location is shown in a map below, and it's staggering. This coverage assures electronic poll pads, election management systems, and tabulators with internet connection capabilities could be connected as critical infrastructure to the FirstNet network and given priority service regardless of the presence or quality of local wired internet service. Just because the FirstNet cellular network was now available to be used for election system didn't mean all local jurisdictions would connect. Some of them would need to be pushed. Coincidentally, public discussion of using election assistant commissions' influence to push election jurisdiction nationwide to connect to FirstNet took place at a two-day election assistance commission board of advisors meeting in April 2019. The Board of Advisors supposedly exists to assist the EAC in setting standards and guidelines to help states comply with the Help America Vote Act through their certification program. Oddly enough, almost 2 years prior to this meeting, the accreditation for both Election Equipment Testing Lab, Pro-VNV, and SLI compliance had lapsed. This lapse in accreditation effectively shut down the ability of all states to legally certify their election systems as required by HAVA, the Help America Vote Act. No vendors, anyone in the EAC, or anyone on the Board of Advisors appear to have noticed this indefensible oversight. As a result, most of the country's election systems were not legally certified for the 2020 election. While a lapse of this magnitude defies reason, the Board of Advisors had an inexplicable and prescient impulse to meet before the manufactured COVID crisis of 2020. To do what exactly? In April of 2019, the board met to discuss disaster management and recovery when elections are disrupted by natural or man-made disasters. And they weren't talking about dealing with a small local disaster during an election, but a national disaster that had the ability to affect the presidential election itself. Board member David Byrne said, but you also look at it in terms of the presidential elections, you have one shot at it. And I think that's a real discussion that needs to occur in terms of your community of operation, responsible plan, and scalability impact, that if you have a shelter in place or on a presidential election, what does that really look like for the state's electoral votes? The board's expectation of the need to deal with unprecedented national shelter in place orders during the presidential election amounts to an unbelievable prophetic oversight of what would occur leading up to and during the 2020 election. A similarly dark prophetic exercise called Event 201 was held by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health and Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Gates Foundation, where bureaucrats practice controlling narratives during a hypothetical worldwide pandemic that would soon take over the planet in reality. While the EAC Board of Advisors discussed being prepared for a national disaster during a presidential election, a board member named Daniel Ivy Soto chimed in to advocate that first net be used as the internet connection at polling places across the country. Ivy Soto, as an aside, is a state senator from New Mexico, who's become well known for his ethical conflicts, his leadership role in the corruption of the election franchise in that state, and accusations of sexual misconduct. Ivy Soto wanted the electronic poll pads, which have full access to the voter registration database and voter turnout, and the systems that transmit the election results, to be connected to FirstNet. Fellow board members Gemma Howell immediately latched on to Ivy Soto's idea of using preemptive privileges to connect election equipment to the internet. The board lamented their lack of authority to force jurisdiction to connect to FirstNet, but they decided to use their leverage and connections in the federal government to push the use of the FirstNet cellular network for election systems. There's a lot of hard evidence that the EAC Board of Advisors successfully carried out Daniel Ivy Soto's vision to connect the nation's polling places to the FirstNet cellular network. For example, here's the official network diagram for election sites in Dallas County, Texas. The diagram shows both the electronic poll books and the tabulators connected to a cellular network with a two-way connection between the router at the polling place and the cellular network itself, which is connected to a central county data center. The priority cellular service provided by Verizon to Dallas County Election Office was subject of a May 2020 discussion hosted by Hans Olsen, former Department of Homeland Security employee. The goal of the talk was to explain how they securely connected election equipment to the cellular network during the March 2020 primary election. They also heavily advertised cradle point modems, which are used prolifically by public safety and critical infrastructure customers to connect to FirstNet. Lester Lewis, a Dallas County IT professional, stated, "We were able to use remote tools to look and to see the signal strength of the carriers. I was able to define the issue right then. The county data center called Verizon, and they were able to make some changes there on voting night." Then Gregory Brown, solution architect manager at Verizon, stated, "Dallas County upgraded their modems to cradle points so they could have that real-time voter count and voting results sent back to the data centers." The researchers believe the priority cellular network reference in this talk is actually FirstNet. According to Dr. Bernadin, the environment for the government's intrusion is partially determined by the IT people when they configure the router at the voter center. The IT managers set up a private network with Wi-Fi protected access and a firewall. The router can be set to randomize the MAC address to keep the network from being identified, but the randomization can be shared with trusted people. The router provides a private two-way connection between the election equipment and the FirstNet cellular network. Once this two-way connection is established, FirstNet can monitor real-time data passed through the election equipment, including who is turning out and how they are voting. The data can be remotely changed by a man in the middle operating on the FirstNet network. In fact, the election results can be entirely fabricated with this clandestine configuration, and nobody would know. As Americans have learned since 2020, looking at what information is being censored and ridiculed is often a strong clue to discovering truth that is inconvenient to the globalist narrative. Elon Musk's Twitter files and recent congressional hearings have proven that the government has gotten into an Orwellian habit of violating America's First Amendment right to suppress what they call malinformation. Malinformation is information which is true, but will undermine the agenda the government is trying to accomplish. It appears that actors who have popped up to support the government narrative about the 2016 and 2020 elections wanted to suppress discoveries of countywide cellular networks being used to support election equipment. Prior to the 2022 midterms, True the Vote put out a call to action to the national audience asking citizens to take screenshot documentation of the Wi-Fi networks that were active at their polling places and report anything that seems suspicious. This led the left of coalition called Election Integrity Partnership to monitor how this call to action spread on social media so they could also likely help censor it on Twitter. At the conclusion of their study, they released a barrage of tweets intimating that there is nothing wrong with internet connection at polling sites and shaming election integrity activists for looking into it. Suspiciously, the Election Integrity Partnership was formed a mere 100 days before the 2020 election to monitor attempts to delegitimize election results, an activity that prior to 2020 was reserved for prominent Democrats and three-letter agencies, which was never taken seriously by most Americans. The EIP work culminated with the publication of a report called The Long Fuse, published in the spring of 2021, dismissing claims of election fraud in the 2020 election as baseless conspiracy theories, a conclusion that a cursory review of video evidence proves to be false.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice.
anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I got to continue with this. It's so stunning. It's so enormous in its importance and influence for democracy in America. It shows the Democrats found a way to steal elections on a nationwide basis that no one heretofore had imagined exist, and that Barack Obama was the key to making it all happen. A prominent member of the EIB is a former CIA employee and anti-Trumper named Rene DiResta, who is a primary proponent of the Russian interference narrative the FBI and Hillary campaign tried to pin the election 2016 to derail the Trump presidency. The narrative has since been completely debunked by the investigation led by Special Counsel John Durham. I even have a book on it, exposing the Russia hoax. EIB was also tied to the elaborate censorship scheme to silence dissent over the 2020 election and the COVID response, exposed by the House Oversight Committee in March of 2023. Since publishing their report in the swing of 2021, condemning everyone who questioned the 2020 election, the EIB was largely silent on the hundreds of efforts that were ongoing across the country to expose insecure and fraudulent elections and tell True the Vote as people to document Wi-Fi networks at polling places. Just the fact that EIB was seeking to suppress citizens looking into Wi-Fi connection at polling places suggests researchers looking into FirstNet were on the right track. It's difficult to obtain information on FirstNet because what is taxpayer-funded and supposedly for public safety, it is the result of one of many public-private partnerships involved in our election, which are immune to public record requests. Shockingly, according to Senator Ron Wyden, FirstNet is also exempt from congressional oversight. In a letter published in April of 2023, Wyden stated concerns about the security of FirstNet and the likelihood that it could be hacked by bad actors. Cybersecurity experts have long warned, he wrote, that phone networks are vulnerable to surveillance by hackers and foreign spies who can exploit flaws to track mobile users, intercept calls and texts, and even steal sensitive information available on devices. All U.S. carriers are vulnerable to these exploits, resulting in risk to the national security. Wyden, who, of course, is a Democrat senator from Oregon, seeking to fend off any review of what's going on with FirstNet. Wyden went on to state that AT&T had apparently conducted cybersecurity audits of the FirstNet system, but that they were unavailable to anyone in the federal government, including Congress, because of a non-disclosure provision in the contract the Department of Commerce had negotiated with AT&T. Therefore, no one knows what was investigated in the audits, what the results were, or whether any identified deficiencies were fixed. The fact that the federal government has interfered in foreign elections is an undisputed fact, accepted by the left, the right, and even fact checkers. Global Research, for example, had an article. U.S. interfered in elections of at least 85 countries worldwide since 1945. 85! Even the fact that AT&T has worked closely with the federal government for spying operations isn't much of a secret. Multiple pieces of evidence were provided in this article that AT&T has had a cozy relationship with the federal government to carry out both international and domestic spy operations going back decades. In 1976, President Gerald Ford blocked a subpoena from a congressional subcommittee because he said AT&T was and is an agent of the United States acting under contract with the executive branch. Wow. Revelation from the Snowden document suggests AT&T's relationship with the federal government continues with the installing of surveillance equipment for the NSA at least 59 domestic sites. Shortly after the corrupt election system failed to deliver the presidency to Hillary in 2016, even the Brennan Center for Justice expressed concern that NSA was too cozy with our domestic communication infrastructure, a topic on which they are now silent. Does infrastructure exist that could change election results electronically in real time without noticeable delay? Yes. Such a thing could be facilitated at the national level by the FirstNet cellular network. All the players surrounding the deployment of FirstNet into elections are already on the suspect list of bad actors. Of every election integrity researcher, as well as being part of the group of people who are caught illegally censoring Americans, who note 2020 was not a legitimate election. Dr. Bernadin describes in the following network diagram how FirstNet could be misused to connect precincts to county and state election officials in such a way that all election data passes through a single network, or could be intercepted and changed by the other programs DHS has set up to supposedly protect and monitor our election infrastructure. The idea that our own government would betray its people in such a way was almost impossible to accept in the immediate aftermath of the 2020 election. But after the discovery of massive illegal censorship by the government over discussion of the 2020 election, federal agents planted to agitate the crowd on January 6th. Eternal gaslighting from the establishment and the weaponization of law enforcement to create a two-tiered standard of justice against those claiming fraud occurred. The conclusion that our own government was to blame for the coup that occurred on November 3rd, 2020 seems obvious. One last piece of evidence that supports Anderson and Bernadine's theory that FirstNet is a critical piece of the election stealing machine is a still unexplained explosion that destroyed an AT&T data center in downtown Nashville on Christmas Day 2020. Very few details ever came out about the perpetrators of the explosion. No one ever tried to explain why he did it. Early articles did admit 911 call centers, hospital, and Nashville Airport government offices were affected from Georgia to Kentucky. Police departments in multiple states were unable to use their FirstNet phones and had to communicate through radio or temporary burner phones. It's possible FirstNet was the target, and possible that election interference carried out using FirstNet needed to be destroyed. Wow. There you have it. Absolutely stunning. And you got to understand, this is on such a scope, such a scale. It boggles the mind. And why am I not surprised that Barack Obama should be at the center of this? I declare, that man for whom I voted twice may go down as the greatest traitor in the history of the United States, putting all others to shame by the bold, brazen way in which he has sought to destroy the electoral integrity of democracy in America. And I gotta say, I do believe the death of the chef in Martha's Vineyard has created a major problem for the Democrats. As you've heard me say on many occasions, I believe for 2024 they want to run Gavin Newsom for president and Michelle Obama for vice president. I'm convinced that's what they want to do. The fact of the matter is, however, there are many, many issues related here, including the mysterious aspects of the entire scenario in Martha's Vineyard involving his chef, with a call log, for example, for the anonymous party who reportedly phoned in the evening, Sunday evening at 7:46:30, to report they'd seen a paddle boater fall into the water and not resurface, remains unidentified to this day. Let me give you a hint. I believe that was Michelle Obama. They've yet to identify the second paddle boater was supposed to be with Tafari Campbell at the time, and where I believe that that second paddle boater would have been Barack Obama. So, of course, they're not going to identify. They have now lost a blood sample that was in the hands of the police, which is virtually unheard of. They have lost a blood sample. And I think that was indispensable because I think we have a parallel here with Paul Pelosi in San Francisco. Pelosi was having gay sex with a young man he knew and identified by name. When he made the call in, you know, the emergency operator, he said there was a person in his house, but then he said he admitted he knew his name, David. And when you hear this, they were supposed to be having an argument, and Paul was hit over the head with a hammer. Was I explained then, it appears that was a sex toy that can be obtained on Amazon for $95, pink dildo, vibrating hammer, loaded with batteries. It would be a formidable weapon. It appears they had an argument. I think David hit Paul over the head with a hammer. You may recall, Paul went to the hospital with a skull fracture and with massive damage to his, I believe, left hand, and this suggests to me he's left-handed, which he appears to have cut very substantially when he broke out a window in the back door to try to make it look as though it were a break-in. But the glass is on the outside, not the in. Those wounds have never been explained. And the fact is, the police cover-up in that case has been comparable to the police cover-up in this case. I believe what happened is that Barack, who actually has a history of inappropriate behavior, sexual harassment, even at Harvard when he was the head of the law school, the law review, the university settled with two members of the law review by paying them off when they complained about Brock's behavior toward them as completely inappropriate. And they had to leave the journal, the law review. There's a third report of this. Well, Brock's chef is married, has two kids. He's a handsome guy, that very Campbell. I wouldn't be surprised at any of the following, that either Brock had put the moves on Tafari and Tafari was resistant. They got into an argument. Tafari defended himself, but Brock killed him. Or Tafari and Brock were having gay sex, as was the case with David and with Paul at the Pelosi mansion in San Francisco. And something went wrong. They had a falling out, even though the gay sex was consensual. Because we have photographs published in the Daily Mail of Brock having cuts covered by bandages on his left hand and a black eye, suggesting that Tafari had defended himself. And once he's dead, he got the problem. How are they going to cover it up? Well, Brock loves to paddleboard. I don't know if he or Michelle would have come up with the idea, but they had to do something with the body. So let's take it down to the pond. Right? Michelle can call in and claim that she saw him fall into the water long after he had actually died. As I say, the call came in at 7:46:30 and pretend he drowned. Now, the fact is, if you had a legitimate autopsy, the signs of drowning are very distinct. It would be very difficult to conceal. But look at it this way. If they got rid of the blood sample, and it's because they may have been on, you know, uppers, whatever, that enhance sex. They had to destroy the blood sample. Well, guess what? It turns out that the depth of the water 100 feet from shore is not 8 feet, as we were told, which is already shallow enough that you wouldn't expect Tafari would be unable to survive, especially when it turns out that he's an accomplished swimmer, even though we had initial reports that he did not know how to swim. Those were false. He knew the breaststroke, the backstroke, freestyle, of course. He was a perfectly decent swimmer. We even have video. Well, guess what? It turns out the depth of the water there is only 3 feet. 3 feet. So Tafari could have saved himself just by standing up. Just by standing up. The guy looked somewhere between 5'10 and 6 feet tall. All he had to do is stand up. Now, here's a catch in the complication. An awful lot of people know that Michelle is actually a man, a transgender, a man who had breast implants. Even Joan Rivers outed them way back when. She was asked by a reporter, now we got our first black president. Will we ever have our first gay president? And she said, we already do with Obama. And then she added, and Michelle's a tranny, we all know. And the reporter said, what? And Joan Rivers said, a transgender, we all know. Meaning a man who pretends to be a woman. Now, there are different ways that can happen. You could have a man who has his equipment converted surgically from male to female. However, we have a physician who attended, looked after Michelle on the campaign trail, walked into her in a trailer near Trenton and got her taking a leak standing up. Women don't do that, needless to say. And as I've reported multiple times, and you can find photographic evidence and substantiation of everything I'm saying here from my False Flags and Conspiracies 2020 conference, which you can access by going to my blog, jameshfetzer.org, go under events, and you'll see archives of my first three for 2020, 2021, 2022. And there will be the fourth in December, mid-December, the weekend mid-December. The dates, I recall, 16, 17. Go to False Flags and Conspiracy 2020, and you can download to your own desktop Deception Galore, where I show you how Hillary used body doubles repeatedly. Hillary's used 6 or 8 different body doubles, even during national debates. I mean, this is going to floor you. Even during national debates with Bernie Sanders and with Donald Trump, she was a body double. It wasn't a real Hillary. In my opinion, that disqualified her from the election. That kind of fraud and deception on the American people. But remember, that's a Democrat stock and trade. They lie, they cheat, they steal, even national elections, totally fraudulent. Michelle has a package most women do not have. When Michelle went on the Ellen DeGeneres show and was dancing, you could see she had a member in her trowel. I mean, it's just so grotesque. So what's going to happen now? You got this death. Michelle goes on the campaign trail. How is she going to respond to questions? Tell us what happened. What happened with Tafari Campbell? What happened? Were you there? Where were you on Martha's? Originally, they reported that the Obamas were not at home. Well, where the hell were they? How can they have not been at home? This appears to be, it's like the reporter couldn't swim. It's like the reporter 8 feet of water. Well, he could swim, and it was only 3 feet of water, and she appears to have made the phone call. That's why they left the name blank. Turns out that Martha's Vineyard police are very accommodating. Very accommodating. Edgerton Police Department, very accommodating. State police got involved. They've lost a blood sample. I'm telling you, America's a cesspool, just a cesspool. And the Democrats are the primary polluters. The Democrats are the primary source of the problems Americans confront today. How can you have any doubt about it? Look at San Francisco homelessness. They have more feces per square meter than any other city in the world, right there in San Francisco. And that's, of course, Nancy Pelosi's home district. If she wanted to do something about it, she could have done something about it. We have millions of migrants illegally crossing the border. Donald Trump had cut it down to zero, zilch, virtually no problem at the border. Biden opened a spigot. My estimate, a minimum of 100 million. Why? Is it because Trump is slaughtering them at the polls? They think all the let in 100 million, they're going to have 100 million Democrat voters. They tried to buy the student vote by paying off the student loans. Believe me, that's a vote buying activity, totally corrupt. But they're masters of making it look as though they're doing something constructive and positive when it has an objective that is completely unacceptable, if only it were made true. It's like claiming we need to protect the election infrastructure from outside hackers. Barack Obama moves to have it included so that the government can manipulate the outcome. I think we now have the final missing piece of the puzzle. I'm telling you, I declare, this guy is a blot on American politics. He is not just a gay fiend, and we all know he had a torrid relationship with Rahm Emanuel in Chicago in the bathhouses there before he went to Washington and brought Rahm Emanuel along with him. We'll take your calls after the break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We got Bruce in Texas on the line. Bruce, join the conversation. Your thoughts?
Yes, am I coming through loud and clear?
Yep.
Super. Oh, and my best wishes for your wife there. Sorry to hear you had that issue.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, she's... she'll deal with it. I mean, shingles are real nasty. I've had it myself before. I had thought once you had it, you couldn't have it again, but apparently that's not the case. It hadn't broken out yet, but she still doesn't feel right. And, you know, they've checked out everything else it could be. So our suspicion is that's what's happening. It was rather similar to her first encounter. But I'll convey your sentiments. That's nice of you to be concerned.
Oh, thank you. And supposedly, from what I've learned, it's kind of like the reoccurrence of the chicken pox. As your immune system weakens, it lays dormant in the end of nerve cells, and so it can rise again as you get older. And I caught chicken pox when I was in elementary school in class. Several other kids got it as well. But, you know, that's another topic. You know, we can go into what causes these things, and you'll hear something else about it, I'm sure. But, what you went over earlier with that mafia guy testimony, you know, this is a case of when you have control of the judicial system from the federal level and then major metropolitan areas in several states, such as in Michigan, that's essentially a mafia government. And that's what we're living under now. We're living under a criminal government. There's this guy, and he was in the Reagan administration, He worked for the Congress, for the CBO or something. His name was Jeff Gates, and he put out a video on how the U.S. public was tricked into war, called Guilt by Association. And he called out a lot of the neocons responsible in the New York Times, et cetera. And then he's writing a second book, and it was tentatively titled Criminal State. And then he pulled the plug on that and pulled the plug on his programs, and basically they got to him, you know. But that's what we're living under. And if they already had the indictment pre-printed, they probably already have the verdict in the sentencing pre-printed. They have no reason to do anything without a conscience and without any moral authority. You know, you basically have the sky's the limit with these people. They don't care. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't put, you know, Trump in prison, give him a sentence to actually go to prison, put his head on a spike to intimidate anybody else who would challenge them. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, the Democrats have just descended into just a so corrupt and disgusting. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I consider myself, I voted, let's put it this way. I voted Democrat most of my life. I voted twice. I voted for Bill Clinton. I voted twice for Barack Obama. But when Trump came on the scene, man, it was a breath of fresh air. and the corruption of Hillary is virtually unprecedented. She's still claiming she ran a wonderful election and she got most of the votes and she still lost. I mean, it's pathetic. What a disgusting person.
Yeah, it's part of a criminal state. You know? I voted for Obama in his first run in 2008 simply because I knew the truth about John McCain. You know, and I couldn't stomach the John McCain. And David Axelrod, Obama's campaign manager, he did an excellent job of creating a false persona, an illusion of what Barack Obama was going to be as president. Remember, he said no more signing statements, which can also be translated to executive orders, and close down Gitmo and end the wars. And he kind of hinted at 9/11 as well, you know, and all that. You know, it was actually the reverse as soon as he took office. And when I watched Barack Obama give his acceptance speech, what am I looking for? At the night of the election when he won. And he had an expression on his face like it was very eerie. I just had bad vibes from that. You know, he didn't seem to be happy. He seemed to be like more in a state of satisfaction. Like, yeah, like, I got this now. You know, it just turned me the wrong way. And so, you know, we all can be fooled. We had, I think, the three major incidents in recent American history, the Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, and then January 6th. If you look at all three, have government fingers in it. And so, you know, I don't know how we fix this. I don't think we can. Is Mitchell gonna talk? Maybe he has some thoughts on it as well. But it's just, I don't want a black pill, but I like to live in the real world. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sure. Well, you stick around, Bruce. We got Paul standing by. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, I heard the good part of the show, not all of it. I missed the beginning. You doing okay? You said something about being in the hospital briefly.
Oh, it was my wife. I had to be 4.5 hours in the hospital because she appeared to be passing a kidney stone, or we now think it's shingles. But I was thanking Mitchell for, you know, filling in for the show on Monday because I couldn't be here. I'm 4.5 hours at the hospital.
Good. Okay. Yes, I didn't know. I heard a couple of things, but I didn't know anybody that knew. Or nobody that I knew mentioned anything particular. So, okay, so she's doing okay then.
Yeah. But thanks for asking. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so was it indeed a kidney stone or was it something else?
Oh, we think it's shingles. They did all the tests. It's not kidney stone, but it's, you know.
Right. Well, that's no great news, but kidney stones can be painful. Okay, cool. Yeah, you know, again, I just was hearing you go on about Barack Obama and, you know, this thing. And I just don't think anybody really cares that much about that story, you know? I mean, I wouldn't run it into the ground too much more. The only other thing I could say, is it's hard for me to fathom. I know what you said before about Barack Obama being, you know, behind the scenes here in the Biden administration, but neither one of those two, you know, are any real commodity. You know, they're just, I mean, let's face it. Okay. Obama came from what? Nowhere. His birth certificate was fake. His academic credentials and education was a lie, was faked. You know, he was just some gay guy, former drug dealer, former homosexual. So how could he really have any quote political power? You know, I mean, he doesn't. He's probably participating in doing some stuff that he's told to do, but we all know the so-called deep state or whoever it is you want to say is the one running the show, the military, anybody else, but not any individual politician. You know?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that. He was in the office when they moved to, you know, create this FirstNet. And I think it was crucial to stealing the election at 2020. So, I mean, why you would think it's not important is a bit surprising to me, Paul, because it seems to me it's a huge piece of the puzzle. I mean, we've known about the use of the Dominion voting machines and, you know, the truckloads of ballots and, you know, manipulating the registration and the mail-in ballots. Yeah. It seems to me this is just another really important piece of the puzzle.
Oh, no, I wasn't dismissing that. I wasn't making any comments on that.
Very good. Then what was it you were...
I guess just shows you're not always listening. No, I was dismissive of the whole Obama killing his cook thing, you know, which I just urge you not to run.
How do you explain the cuts on the hand and the black eye and the non-disclosure of who made the phone call?
I don't even know why. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I just was letting you know I would not run that story into the ground. I've heard you do it over and over again the very few times I listen, and I'm just sort of just letting you know I don't think people care about that. I don't think it's important at all.
We disagree on our interpretation.
Well,
we
again,
got Brian
Obama
here, too. Paul, let me bring in Brian, too, and then we'll continue with the three of us. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, tell Paul I know who he is now. I caught his last name on some other show he was on, so I figured out all about him. I know who he is. He won't want to hear it. But anyway, what I was going to say is, yeah, Paul, it's good. Don't worry. But the fact Biden was sleeping with his daughter is an indicator of a Shabbat and Frankist. Okay, they worship the Antichrist. That's their whole thing is the Antichrist. And you know, Joe Biden, his father was an Iraqi Jew, and Stanley Durham, the same thing. Obama's mother, you know, that Frank Marshall Davis or whatever, you know, what father would have his teenage daughter bring her to him and say, here she is, another Shabbat and Frankis. And what was interesting to me is I saw a picture on the internet of a young Barack Obama with his family, and he had this necklace, which was part of a satanic dark ritual, and he's wearing it around his neck. So that's been going on for a long time. So anyway, and if you read about the Shabbat and Frankis, Jacob Frank, everything going on now are things that were going on then with him. So that's what we're under is the Antichrist worshipers is who they are. So
Brian,
that's all I have to say about it.
I want to respond to Brian. Hey, have you seen the material put out by Joel Gilbert, Dreams of My Real Father?
No, I haven't seen that.
You know, you need to look it up. It really goes into Frank Marshall Davis and exactly why he is the real father of Barack Obama. Just put the two pictures side by side, and you can see genetic connection there. And then,
You know, that would make sense with what I was saying, because, you know, his mother was part of the Shabbat and Frankis thing. And you know, those two were put together, and then they did a lot of satanic ritual over that baby when it was born. And yeah, I would agree that he is definitely the father, but it was definitely an Antichrist ritual that he was involved with concerning that.
Yeah, also, I believe the term is red diaper baby. Maybe Jim knows more about that term since it comes back from the 60s and 50s. But, Obama's path was shaped from the get-go. And Frank Marshall Davis was a pornographer. Yeah, there's pictures of Obama's mom there in various poses, doing, like, soft porn. And so, you know, once the cameras weren't running, that they did their thing there. And that's consistent with Barack Obama. He's an illegitimate son of a communist. If Frank Marshall Davis was a hardcore communist, he's actually a member of the party. It's all CIA, probably, from the get-go.
And Stanley Durham's family owned Armor Packing, Jewish family armor packing company, did armor meets around the country, and they were here in Kansas City. And the dad was CIA, and I just can tell you, it's a Shabbat and Frankis by, you know, their actions. Their actions tell you.
I agree. All right, thanks. I just want to interject that. Yeah, look up Dreams of My Real Father. Just search that when the show's over, when you have time.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Any comments on the Florida, the Georgia indictment? I mean, this is a joke. It's making a mockery of the legal system. It's so blatantly political and has no foundation in the law or in fact.
Well, Jim, the legal system is already a mockery. Okay.
Yes.
It's nothing like what it should be. Okay. It should be very simple. I covered this years ago. Everybody that ever looks into the law knows about this online, okay, that all you really supposed to have is a cause of action based upon injury, loss, or harm, okay? Could be either civil or criminal. On occasion, it could be both. But the bottom line is there has to be an injured party, all right, an actual injured party to claim harm, loss, or injury. So all this is just a bunch of BS, violations of this code or that code, and it's all nonsense. And most of the time, all these charges are very easily dismissed if you know the proper thing to do when you go to court and how to invoke the proper jurisdiction. But again, you know, we're treated nonstop to this disgusting Jewish mind virus propaganda. This idea of Barack Obama and his mother, you know, he's just the spawn. He's the mulatto spawn of a Jew and a black. And it's just the ghastly perversion of racial genetics that the Jews love because they're sick, twisted people. They're mongrels, and they should not exist in white Western society, period. That's why so many people wanted them out. The Russians wanted them out. They put them in settlements, okay? Most of the European places that they lived, they were in the quarter, right? The Jewish ghetto. That's where the term the Jewish quarter comes from. You're in your own section of the city. You're not to come around us. And that's the way it should be. They should be banished and spurned because look at what they do over and over again throughout the centuries. Okay. It's just everything that is good, wholesome, pure, right? That's what they disdain because that's everything they are not.
Bruce, did you want to comment on that, or Brian?
Well, he's right.
I have my thing muted. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, everything he's saying is the truth. I mean, Paul has a high level soul, and we all have high level souls. That's why we see things when other people can't. And unfortunately, in the past, we were the leadership on this planet. I know a lot of my lifetimes, I could figure out Paul's, but, you know, before they took over, we were in charge and we would say, you know what, we need to get rid of these people that are causing us problems. But now we can't because they control everything. And he's right about the racial thing. Where I really pick up on that is if you're racial prejudice, believe it or not, that comes from the divine, okay? It doesn't mean you hate black people. What it means is you protect your genetic DNA from being corrupted because you can't have high-level souls incarnating on the planet if your DNA is corrupted. So if you're prejudiced, that's normal. But that doesn't mean you hate black people. It's the same for them. Their DNA needs to be protected so that they can have high-level souls incarnating amongst them. It's part of what they do to destroy us, to weaken us, because how many high-level souls can incarnate now because who they were going to incarnate with has a black father, whatever, and then they can't. Okay, so you know, you don't get I'll that.
I'm gonna throw in there too, so we can put the soul to the side. And I'm not saying the soul doesn't exist or it's not important, but putting that to the side, there's a biological and a biophysical reality to this. This is based upon absolutely sound quote science, right? That mixed breeds of all sorts in the animal world as well as in humans are defective in many ways. It's well known that mulattoes or mongrels have much higher rates of mental illness, homosexuality, as well as physical abnormalities. Okay. Ranchers and farmers know that in the first generation, it might not be that bad and you could get some robust qualities. But in subsequent generations, mixing bloodlines, they are not as good as the original. In human racial genetics, it's known as regression to the mean. So even though you might start out with a smarter member of another race, for example, blacks are nowhere near in the realm of whites, both in their evolved status culturally as well as absolute, you know, innate intelligence. There's a huge gulf anatomically and so forth. And you get regression to the mean every single time when you start to mix these people. So even if a white person breeds with a more intelligent or successful black person, in the end, generations down the line, they're going to regress. They're not going to progress. And so, again, there's no reason that this should be occurring, but this is Jewish brainwashing to destroy us because they're already wrecked. Okay, they've been known for centuries as a mixed race, a very unappealing and unwanted, and in fact, quite a nuisance species, if you will. Just look at Russian and European history. And it's all there.
You know, a good way to look at that is consider the wolf, okay? A purebred wolf, and it's intermixed with things, and you end up with a chihuahua, okay? You know, dogs are originally wolves, and think of the difference between a wolf in the wild and your chihuahua, Pomeranian, all those yakety little breeds. That's basically the same thing.
Well, yeah, and I'm not so sure about the directness of all the dogs coming from wolves. I believe there are other wild dogs, for example,
dog-like
creatures.
Yeah, you get my point, though.
I totally get your point. I'm just very wary of, you know, taking something. I mean, it's obvious a German Shepherd has a great resemblance to a wolf, and it's obvious Huskies have a great resemblance to a wolf, but I'm not sure of every other dog breed. However, your point is well made, just like the one I raised before, that there's nothing good that can come from race mixing. This is why the Jews promote it.
Well, you're not getting a lot of arguments here, Paul. I mean, Bruce, Brian, any other thoughts you'd like to add?
I know you guys don't.
I'd just like to make one point. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to point something out with time. My take on time is there is no such thing as time. Everything is in the now, and we live in all these timelines. And proof of that is premonition. Okay, if you look at Edgar Cayce, he predicted that the Soviet Union would become like America and America would get like the Soviet Union. I had premonitions myself when I was a kid, and I get dreams every day about this premonition. And then after 10 days, it came exactly true. So your definition of time, the premonitions can't happen. And the other
I don't know about that. I mean, look, we have a succession of events. You're older now than you were before. That took place during the passage of time. Time is regularly measured by repeating causal processes. I mean, months. We've been through this before in other contexts, so... That saying there's no reality to time is just metaphorical. You mean something else because literally it's absurd.
Well, it's not, because you live in timelines that are part of the illusion. And everything is in the now. So your past lifetimes are going on now. Your future lifetimes are going on now. That's why you get premonitions. If you have a regular thinking of time, premonitions can't fit in there. Then they're illogical. And there's a real case of it. Jim the Wonder Dog, this dog from the 30s in Marshall, Missouri, there was an oracle could predict the future, and there's a statue of him in Marshall, Missouri. There's a book about him. He was supposed to meet the president. And, you know, with premonitions, they don't fit into your definition of time. There's no way it can.
So, Bruce or Brian, do any of you have other thoughts? Or, Paul, did you want to add anything further?
I need to go, so let me just throw this in there before I go. One thing that could happen, you know, I want to get back to the election.
Yes.
And the persecution of Trump. Now, I'm not sympathetic to Trump on a personal level. I mean, I'd like to have him as president much more than Biden and his gang. But, you know, he did, you know, he did pardon Julian Assange. And he did pardon a bunch of Jewish criminals and rap artists that were convicted for drug crimes, et cetera. He didn't put, you know, anybody in jail like he said he was, you know, Hillary, et cetera. He kind of dug his own grave there, maybe naively. He had his own answers, you know. Maybe control
guys,
him.
Guys, we've come to the end. Thank you for all your thoughts here. Everyone, all check out that article at jameshfester.org about the special selection. Mind-boggling.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their